Well, I recently led a series of studies on the book of Isaiah, and as we were preparing for the deacon ordination, some of those passages came back to me. I was in youth choir when I was a young person. Anybody else in youth choir? Did you do the youth choir? Yeah, all the choir people. We've got a few others out here. We sang, it may surprise some of you that I was in the youth choir. So Jan is laughing. She's heard me sing. She's wondering, thinking, my, what a difficult that task that must have been. But one of the contemporary pieces that we sang came from the prophet Isaiah. And this was the passage it came from. Come, let us reason together. Do you all remember this song? Some of you remember it. That's what God says. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come, let us reason together. It comes from the book of Isaiah. It's a part of the first 10 chapters. And it has this wonderful tune with it that's lilting and sweet. Sounds like a love song, which of course it was. And we learned that love song to God, and we sang it and celebrated God's love of us and our love for God. And it tugged at our hearts, gave us a promise. It was comforting. I knew it was true. But what the song neglected to mention was what came after those words. This is what comes after it. Your hands are full of blood. Though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Learn to do good. Seek justice. If you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured. We didn't sing that part. We didn't sing that part. We left it out. Those aren't kind words. And they're not the kind of words that we really want to hear when we come to church. I mean, we're here to worship, not to be threatened. And if Scripture has it right, well, this is the word that God says to the people who come to worship. Comes at the very beginning of that great biblical collection that we call the prophets. It's God's opening speech, and it rails against worship. God begins by attacking religion. I want you to hear that. God begins by attacking religion. Now, there's an armful of best-selling books published lately on the subject of the evils of religion. And if you talk to people, they will tell you that part of the reason we have the challenges and difficulties that we're facing in this world today is because of religion. And so many people that I talk to say they want nothing to do with religion. And what the authors of these books may not have noticed is that the Bible is way ahead of them. Because God doesn't want anything to do with religion either. Isn't that something? God was the first and the harshest at raging against the institution and the practices of religion. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? I've had enough of your burnt offerings. When you come before me, who asked this from your hand? Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. I can't endure solemn assemblies without inquiry. Your appointed festivals my soul hates. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. So what's behind the fury? Why is God so angry with God's people? Why is God so angry? Do these words declare that worship's a form of evil? Don't they insist that we consider the possibility? Or is this only an attack on certain kinds of rituals and sacrifices? Not likely, since Scripture calls for these very sacrifices, these very rituals, and clearly exalts them and says that we ought to be people who are worshiping God on a regular basis. In fact, there are passages in the Bible claiming that the whole creation is actually involved in worship. That all of us, as the created children of God, are involved in worshiping God. Simply by looking and seeing what God has created, we celebrate who God is. Human life can't be whole without worship. Worship is crucial. But God says, and I want to say today, worship is dangerous. For some people, it can actually become a substitute for their living lives of justice and compassion. Well, I went to church on Sunday. And that was enough? Isn't that what God wants of me? Yes. But that's not all. And if your worship is a substitute for living the Christian life, or you're using it as some kind of justification for being a Christian, and that's all you're doing, then I've got some really bad news for you. God says, you might as well not even come. In church, we can be all awash with good feelings that fool us into thinking we've completed something here. And so I've been to worship on Sunday morning, and now I'm done. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and a lot of you know that. And so in the Catholic Church, worship or attending worship is actually part of forgiveness. So if you go to worship and you take communion, you've been forgiven of your sins. And there were many that I grew up with in the Catholic Church who thought that if they went out on Saturday night, it was all right. I can pretty much do whatever I want because I'm going to church on Sunday morning. And I'll be forgiven. I can walk out the doors and start all over again. Isn't that great? I'm telling you. But it's not true just for the Catholic Church. It's true for Baptists as well. You know, there are some Baptist people not very nice that come to church. Some of you are laughing. Yeah. And if you think that this is all there is, God says, well, you're missing the boat. Because this is an experience that is to transform you, remake you, where you hear God's word and you experience God's presence and you worship God and you realize that God wants to make me into something that I'm not. And I'm here Not because of what I get out of it, but because of what I can give to God. I want to be here because I want to offer myself as a living sacrifice to God. And I want God to change me, transform me, forgive me, to remake me, and then use me in the world. I want God to take me out of this place and make me an instrument for God in the world. And I know that by coming here, that I'm going to hear God. And I'm going to be changed and transformed and forgiven. And I'm going to be a better person by being here for God. And God says, if you come here and you're not expecting that to happen, and if you're coming here and you think it's just some kind of obligation that you're fulfilling to God, then you've got it all wrong. Because God wants to change you and remake you and use you and forgive you. Had some visitors not long ago. They came to church here, and they said, "What kind of what kind of recreational program do you have?" And I said, "Recreational program? Yeah, where's your gymnasium?" I said, "Gymnasium? Yeah, do you have a gym? We're looking for a church with a gym." Oh. Well, if you're looking for a church that can transform your life and change you into the person God wants you to be, then you're welcome to join us. But if you're looking with it for a church with a gym, then you'll have to go down the road because we ain't got that. And the reason we come to church is not for us. We come to church for God. So if you're looking for a place where you want to come to church and you want to encounter God, glad to have you. If you're coming because you think this church needs to meet my needs, then you're probably coming for the wrong reason. It's not like going to Walmart, where you get what you want. It's coming to church where you get what God gives you. You do know, don't you, that you know rooms like this, safest place to hide from God. It's the safest place. What better way to keep from hearing the voice of God than to fill your ears and your mouths with religious noise? Most efficient postponement of living life to come is to just sing songs about it and hear about it and talk about it. It's a dangerous room you're sitting in. Evil's favorite shelter is the house of worship. The serpent slithers and coils itself around the altar. Every week we come to this place. Why? I would ask you why. Seriously, what are you here for? You're here to praise God together. You're here to pray for the world and to pray for yourself. To ask for forgiveness, to listen for the Spirit and what the Spirit has to say to you. It's amazing to me when we leave and somebody says to me, "I didn't get anything out of that worship service." And I'm thinking, well then, I don't know what was going on because you were here and God was here. And if you didn't get anything out of God's Spirit speaking to you, I mean, really? It's not just the preacher. There's scripture that's read. That's the Word of God, folks. That's the Word of God. You didn't get anything out of the Word of God? Are you serious? The choir singing, the prayers that were prayed, the music that was played, where you hopefully were meditating and praying and hearing what God would have to say to you, you didn't get anything out of that? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. If you ever say that to me as you're walking out the door, I will look at you and say, then where were you? Because God was here and you were here. And if you didn't get anything out of that experience with God, then whose fault is that? God is here. You believe that? And you can listen to him or not. But God is here. I recommend you listen. And what God says to you will be through the work of the Spirit. I've had people tell me, you know, when in your sermon you said blah, 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 and I'm thinking, I never said anything like that. Never did. But that's what you heard. You didn't hear it from me. And what I would say to you is, you better listen to that. Because that didn't come from me, that came from God. And it was impressed upon you enough where you thought I actually said that? Isn't that amazing? That's called the work of the Holy Spirit, folks. Wow. And if that doesn't happen to you, and you don't have that happening, and you're not hearing God, then we got a problem. Right? You should leave this place thinking about how you can be of better service to God. God meets us here, sends us back into the world, and there have been countless times when I take what God gives me in this place and I realize that God wants me to use it out there with others who need God's love and compassion, God's voice, God at work in the world. And we meet here and then we leave this place and we become instruments for God in the world. It's amazing to me what you people can do if you let God use you. It's amazing. When I hear the stories of what you're involved in, it's exciting to me. We're ordaining two people today who are called into ministry and worship to go out into the world and to take the gifts that they have, marvelous, wonderful gifts, and then to use them for God in the world. And you know what they're saying to you today and to me today? I've heard God call my name. And I'm going to follow God's will and God's desire in my life. And I'm going to take what I have to offer and I'm going to use it for God through the ministry of this church in the world. That's huge, people. And the good news is God's not just calling their name, God's calling yours too. God wants you to hear His voice and to respond to His call. And God wants to use you, your gifts, your life, your ministry, your love, your grace, everything that you have to give that you get here, give it to others. You see, what God gives you, it's not just for you. It's not just for you. God gave it to you so you could give it away. It's a gift. So I went to see Olin this past week. Guess who went with me? This may surprise some of you. Surprise me. Doug went with me. Can you believe that? Look at you guys laughing. Where's Doug? Did he leave? He left. Good, I can talk about him. His wife's still here. His wife's still here? She left too. Good, I'll talk about her too. So, I'm at breakfast. I said, Doug, I'm going to go visit Olin. You want to join me? Oh, yeah. Yes, it will. You know what Olin said when the two of us came in together? Hey, Doug, so good to see you. Hey, Olin. Hey, preacher. Doug. You know why? Well, I'm supposed to go. But Doug, he's just a friend. And Olin knew he's here because he loves me. Preacher's here because you're getting paid. But Doug's here because he's my friend. Wow. Do you realize what kind of difference you can make? Just being a friend. Christ didn't die between two candlesticks in the sanctuary. He poured out his life outside the temple and outside the gates of the holy city. And he sends you out. You're my people. I'm going to use you in the world. Stop doing evil. Do what's right. Lose yourselves in loving others. We can do this. We can. We can do this. And the one who sends you outside the gates is the one who assures you that he's going to go with you. And he holds out this gift of transformation and life. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as red as blood, I will make them as white as snow. Turn your lives over to that voice. Be washed in his love. And then go out into the world and be the people God has called you to be. To the glory of God. Now that's worship. That's worship, isn't it? Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, you have poured out your love upon us. You have washed us clean from our sins. We come to this place, God, because we know that we need your grace, your love, your forgiveness. We need to hear your voice. There's so many voices in the world, God, and we need to listen to you. We need your Spirit to guide us, to direct our lives. We need for you, God, to call us. And so we come to this place to hear you and to praise you and to celebrate your love of us. And we lift up these two today who are called into a new ministry for you. and we pray over them, and we pray your blessing upon them. And we pray for all who will come and follow you in new ways this day because they have heard your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.